The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Is Sinead O'Carroll, the editor of the Journal.ie and co-host of the Olympics Daily by the 42. Sinead, you drew the short straw in Paris.
Oh yeah, it's a really, really tough job to come with the most successful ever Team Ireland Olympics team. You know, watch three gold medals being won, six medals in 6 days, the expectation of seven medals in 7 days, and in a city that has got the organisation of the Olympic Games down to a fine art. It's really, really tough to be here on this Sunday morning, Sean. Yeah, you're correct.
I really pity you. I've definitely got the tiniest violin in the world out. Let's start with it. Which of the gold medals do you want to start with? You've been at all three, so I'll led by you. Which stood out to you most?
So isn't this like the BBC's problem when they're covering Team GB? Like, too many medals and we're fighting over what we can go to. I think the special ones so far, in terms of the gold medals, they're all special in their own right. But for Reese McLenaghan to be at that gymnastics final yesterday, to see how he has grown and matured as an athlete since we started to know him as a teenager, to the terror and the just kind of upset that he had in Tokyo when he fell off the pommel horse, for his story arc to end in, or to kind of have a middle arc because he's keeping going in Paris with just an unbelievable routine, like finger perfect, you know, hands where they're meant to be, hips where they're meant to be, legs glued together, to come off the pommel horse and have that just flood of emotion come through his whole body, that he didn't even know if he'd won the gold medal yet, but he just knew that he had done his job and that's all he wanted. He wanted to not lose it by beating himself. He wanted to make sure that, you know, if he put everything he had out there, he had a very high chance of coming away with a gold medal. And when it actually came to fruition then, and you could see him just beam and be so composed and controlled in the press conference afterwards, when he's introduced as Olympic champion, and not only Olympic champion, but Ireland's first ever gymnastics medal. And I think people don't realise yet how big a deal that is. Like, gymnastics, one of the blue ribbon events of the Olympic Games, in the same stadium as global superstar Simone Biles, you know, a few minutes after she won her gold medal, that we have an athlete up there. It's unbelievable. It is a huge achievement. And he said afterwards, it's a 10-year plan in coming to fruition. His coach, Luke, had said when he was 14, 15, I think I can make you world champion. He has back-to-back world championships. And now he's Olympic champion. And, you know, his aim is to be one of the greatest gymnasts of all time. And he's already talking about LA 2028. So what a privilege to be there. There was nerves in the press box, but absolutely no nerves with Reese on the pommel horse.
Yeah, he was absolutely amazing afterwards as well. We could hear a little bit of a clip of Reese from after winning his gold yesterday.
Reese McLenaghan with just an absolutely wonderful 15.533. And you know, Tokyo and the slip on the pommels, that is all in the background now.
Yeah, that absolutely amazing. And to, like you say, to come back from that, because for so many people, what happened in Tokyo to him when he could, well, he had the ability, he had the talent to get the gold then, and to have literally, as he said, one finger slip and for it to put him back. But he's done exactly what he said he would do. He's built on it. He's come back stronger and he is the gold medalist, the Olympic champion.
Yeah. And I think afterwards he spoke so well. He loves the pommel horse. There's a real true line between Daniel Whiffen in the pool, Paul O'Donovan and Finch McCarthy in on the water, and Reese and Kelly in the boxing ring and on the pommel horse. That's where they feel like their truest selves, their best selves. It's what they love doing. Reese loves the pommel horse. So actually, I think if he had gone out and done everything that he possibly could have done, but one of the other guys had beaten him with a better routine, he actually would have been fine with that. All he wanted to do was make sure that he had shown the best of his abilities on the pommel horse, because that's what he loves so much. And like the way he spoke afterwards, he really charmed the American press, because they obviously love their new hero, Stephen Nedorosic. And he was the bronze medalist, but himself and Reese have a really lovely friendship. And the American journalists were loving kind of that camaraderie between them. And, you know, Reese was saying, like, these two guys right and left of me can beat me on their day too. And isn't it brilliant for the pommel horse that this was the best ever men's Olympic final with the scores that they were putting up? And, you know, they were talking about, like, let's run it back to LA. Let's see what we can do and just keep pushing the sport on and on. It was really interesting to be in that room afterwards and see the competitors all kind of look forward, even though they had just reached the pinnacle of their career. And as Reese kept saying, you know, he's enjoying the view from the mountaintop now.
Yeah. You mentioned that confidence they have. And let's move on to Daniel Wiffen, because my God, if there's ever a man who was not short of confidence, here's a bit of a clip yesterday after he absolutely strolled home in the 1500 metres. Talk about a man who was not afraid of the moment.
To be fair, at the start, I still think I've got a bit of fatigue from the 800, but at the end there, I was flying and I felt really slow. So, I mean, I thought I was about 5 seconds slower than that on the overall time. So to look up and see 14:40, it's like a top five time for me. It's pretty special.
You kept an eye on Paltrinieri. Did you think he was the threat all along?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, he holds a good pace. I was just like, I'll stay with him. And then when I get bored, I'll go a bit faster.
What an attitude to have, Sinead. When I get bored, I will win this race.
And that's exactly what it looked like, Sean. It's really fun being in the stand for the swimming, because there's something very, primal about just seeing men and women in the pool going as fast as they can in various different ways, like on their back, on their front, underneath the water, bobbing heads. But when you see Daniel go, he actually doesn't look like he's racing. He looks like he's going on a Sunday morning swim and everyone else is just... like there to watch him. Like, it doesn't actually look like a race. It does look like, you know, I'm doing my thing. Okay, yeah. Oh, you're near me. Okay, cool. I'll go a bit faster. So, like, I know it sounds really bombastic, but I think he knows he has the gold medal secured. So to motivate himself, he's kind of thinking, right, I'd like that world record. Because he's thinking bigger picture. He's thinking, how do I really make a name for myself in the sport in the way that, like, a Michael Phelps did? I want to be known as one of the greatest of all times. And to do that, you need world records. You need world records to stay around for a while. You need two or three gold medals. He's talking about doing the 10K open water swim in the Seine. Myself and Gav were talking on the podcast last night. We were thinking he knows that picture at the Eiffel Tower is going to be momentous. So we think, like, that's the kind of thing he's thinking through, because he knows he can do it. He knows he has, and it's not quite the technique. It is the technique, but he is an unusual technique. He just knows he has the ability. So his bombast is actually quite charming in person. Sometimes when you write the quotes down in print, they seem very un-Irish or something. But when you actually meet him in person, there's more of a vulnerability there. There is more. Like, he told us after the 800 that there was a pinprick of doubt when he woke up in the morning. But then, you know, he worked through his process and he worked through all the scenarios that the Olympic final could bring. And he knew that he was going to be able to, you know, fend off Bobby Fink and Gregorio Paltrinieri, which he believes are going to be the top three tonight as well. And just in what order is the question mark. But, you know, I don't think there's a question mark. I think we will be hearing Aron Levine again, because he loves the 1500. We saw the 800 and him coming first, and this is his preferred event. This is his dream. He said, like, he never really dreamed of the 800 because it's a newer event in the Olympics, but the 1500 is his dream. And when he got bored and started going yesterday, it was very like Fintan McCarthy and Paul O'Donovan in the rowing. It's just that, like, middle two thirds where everyone else is trying to just maintain and keep themselves kind of safe for the sprint at the end. Whereas, like, these guys, they're relentless. They just can just burn people off in the middle of these long distances. So it's really interesting to see that they're so similar in that way when they're actually in the water. So I think that's going to happen tonight from 7:50. Just watch Daniel get bored, go fast, and try and beat that record. It hasn't seen that many records, this pool, because it's a little shallower.
Yeah, explain that to me. So is there more of a drag or something because it's shallower? What's the reason?
So because it's a temporary pool, so the arena, which is just fabulous, is Racing 92's rugby stadium. And so they have transformed it into a swimming arena. So the pool is a transportable pool. So it was made in 30 days. So the depth of it is less. I've read figures between 2.1 and 2.3, which is a little bit shallower than the usual Olympics swimming pool, which would be between 2.5 and 3. And I don't know the science, John, but the science behind it is that the deeper it is, the faster it can go. So I was talking to some swimmers here and they were saying it is a slow pool, but we have seen a couple of records now. So I don't think that will put Daniel off. He talked a lot about getting sleep because that's what Sun Yang did when he broke the record that still is held from London 2012. So Daniel has been trying to get as much sleep as possible and as much rest as possible. And I think maybe just figure out the pace of the race he needs to do to break that world record.
Yeah. Let's turn to boxing. Kelly Harrington last night secured her place in the final. She will fight for gold, at least a silver medal that she'll have. She fights on Tuesday. She was facing the Gerdyn Ferreira that she beat in the final last time around. And, you know, going into that final round, it was hard to call it. I mean, Ferreira really put it up to her in the second round. And then it was like Kelly went up a gear. A bit like what we're saying with Daniel Whiffen. She just put on the afterburners, turned into this really, really classy boxer that we saw a bit in the first round and put her away.
Yeah, and the commentary on Eurosport, which I was listening to at the same time, because it's obviously a little bit more neutral than an Irish commentary, so it's kind of always good to get their take. And they were saying Beatrice Ferreira is such a strong boxer, but she is so unlucky that she is living in the Kelly Harrington era, because she is kind of putting her life's work into being able to beat Kelly Harrington. And it's just not working out for her, because Kelly Harrington is getting better and better and better. So, yeah, it's going to be fantastic for Kelly to do. Like, she could end up being back-to-back Olympic gold medalist, something that hadn't been done since 1932 with Pat O'Callaghan, but now was done on Thursday by Coco Donovan. So,
drug away a stealing your thunder there, you know?
Yeah. But for Ireland to have two back-to-back gold medalists on this team, and Daniel Whiffen with two, perhaps three gold, maybe other colour medals, like, that would be to add to already a haul that is matched. Like, we've six medals in 6 days. We'll probably have seven medals in 7 days. That'll surpass our record from London 2012. So, yeah, we're just at, like, territory that is we couldn't have even dreamed of. And we have a couple of other kind of not quite outside chances, but probably under the radar chances, I'd call them. Like, we have Rory McIlroy going well in the golf today. We have Daniel Coyle in the show jumping. He had a fantastic round in the teen event at the weekend and is going again on, I think, Tuesday. But I have to look that up, so don't take my word for it. And he has a fantastic chance of a medal if he rides like he's been riding, and his horse Legacy rides as he's been riding. And that's a fantastic venue out on Château de Versailles as well. So that would be quite a moment for the equestrian team, who were fiercely unlucky on Saturday. Leona Maguire, who we know has championship mindset when it comes to the Solheim Cup. It's a different type of golf. It's just, you know, the usual four days. But I think if she can get her head into representing Team Ireland in the same way she does for Team Europe, I think she's one to watch next week. And then, of course, we have Rashida as well. So Michael Johnson has been talking up Rashida's chances. We've been trying to temper people's expectations because of how stacked the 400 metres is for Rashida. But we know she has the talent. We know she has the ability. And it's just how the races go for her and how they go for all the other top four athletes. There's four, maybe five people who could medal in that event. So yeah, we're looking into another perhaps golden week.
Fingers crossed. Golden day today, hopefully, and a golden week, as you say. Sinead O'Carroll of the Journal, enjoy your hardship posting there in Paris for the next few days and weeks. Thanks a million for joining us. Coming up,
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.